All right, our next case is 12-430, in re the application of Robin Lee Birch. For the applicant, Mr. Keefe.
Good morning, Your Honors, and may it please the court. My name is Michael Keefe on behalf of the applicant, Robin Lee Birch, and I'm going to try to reserve 2 minutes for rebuttal. This case is before the court upon the applicant's objections to the findings of fact and recommendation of the Board of Commissioners on Character and Fitness. And we're going to ask the court to sustain our objection to those findings of fact and permit Ms. Birch to sit for the next bar examination. Ms. Birch graduated from the University of Cincinnati College of Law on time with her class just over 2 years ago in May of 2010. She applied to take the July 2010 bar examination. In accordance with the rules for the government of the bar, the College of Law submitted its law school character certificate. The front page of that document was a form whereby the assistant dean stated that she had no reason to doubt the applicant's character and fitness. However, the assistant dean attached a two-page addendum to that form that outlined several incidents which occurred during the applicant's law school career. These incidents set forth in the addendum are the basis for the Board of Commissioners' decision. And briefly, the conduct identified in that addendum is as follows. Ms. Birch was awarded the grade of unauthorized withdrawal failure in two classes for poor attendance and failure to complete assignments. And she was awarded a grade of F in her judicial externship class for making inappropriate comments, which were audible in open court. In her final semester of law school, Ms. Birch failed to disclose an uncompleted assignment from the previous semester when she was requesting permission to exceed the maximum course load. And finally, that Ms. Birch improperly signed her name to an attorney designation form that was to be filed with the Hamilton County Court of Common Pleas. Ms. Birch admits this conduct, has admitted it throughout. There are some minor points that were in the College of Law's addendum that she took issue with, but substantively, the conduct that I just explained, she admits that and has admitted it all the way through.
I think one of the comments that I think disturbed the board and is concerning to me is there's this attitude that this is my life, I can do with my life what I want, and if you know it hurts me, that's fine. I don't have to follow the school rules. I can attend class or not attend class. But if I have a client, I'll put the client's interests first. And you look at the moral character of a person as they live their own life, which gives you some idea of how they will treat their responsibilities in the practice of law. And there's this gap there. And that's why I think of what really seemed to concern the panel, and I think it's concerned to us, because what evidence do we have to believe that she would be any more responsible toward clients when she shows no responsibility toward her own obligations?
Yes, Your Honor. Certainly earlier on in her law school career, when she was taking these classes and obviously missed a number of classes and failed to complete assignments, that did demonstrate that. However, you can see during her last semester of law school, when push came to shove, she was able to complete more than even the maximum course load and graduate on time. Also, since she's graduated, she's found employment. There is a letter of recommendation from her employer that's in the record that states that she has been diligent in completing her duties with that. So,
what is that employment again?
She works for an in-home tutoring service. She works approximately 20 hours per week tutoring grade school and middle school students.
So, Mr. Keefe, what is the relief you're asking us to order in this case?
We are asking the court to permit Ms. Birch to sit for the next bar examination without further inquiry from either the Cincinnati Bar Association or the Board of Character and Fitness.
So you don't want a new application to have been filed and a process to gone through. You just want her to be able to sit for and take the bar examination?
Yes, Your Honor.
And what is the bar's position on that?
I believe
the Board of Commissioners and Grievances.
Well, that's an interesting question, Your Honor. I believe Mr. Hyland's going to address this in his remarks, but I believe that the Cincinnati Bar Association would be in agreement with permitting Ms. Birch to sit for the bar.
Yes.
And his opinion is going to differ from the Board of Commissioners, as evidenced by their recommendation to this court.
Well, that's what I was asking, because it indicates that she'd be permitted to sit for the February 2013 bar examination, but undergo a review and interview by the local bar and admissions committee. Is that the essence of your objection? You're objecting to going back to the local bar committee?
We're objecting to...
For an interview.
I would say our objection is based upon the board's failure to consider evidence of her present character and fitness. I think what they did was they fixated on her misconduct during law school.
All right. I think we've covered the facts. We understand that. What I'm trying to get to is you're asking us to permit your client to sit for a bar examination in February with no further interview. Board of Grievances and Discipline is requesting that she be permitted to sit for the same bar examination, but subject to an interview before the local bar committee. And you're objecting to that limited issue?
Yes.
Do you have examples of when we've allowed people we've disapproved to come forward without another character and fitness analysis when, you know, there's been an expanse of time?
Your Honor, I do not know of any cases, but I'd be happy to try to research that and provide a supplemental memorandum.
That's not... could you explain to me why she doesn't want to have another character and fitness examination?
Yes, Your Honor. I believe the conduct that has already occurred has been thoroughly investigated by both the Cincinnati Bar Association and the Board of Character and Fitness.
And getting updated recommendations and exploring what she's been doing for the last year and a half wouldn't be relevant?
It certainly could be helpful, Your Honor, but I don't believe that it's necessary.
She's not engaged in an occupation that is relevant to the practice of law.
No, Your Honor.
I would maybe feel a little differently if she was serving as a law clerk for a firm or working in the legal field, but in-home tutoring services is an extremely subjective line of work that is irrelevant to the practice of law.
Well, Your Honor, it certainly would be better if the applicant could find legal work. As I'm sure the court is aware, the legal employment market right now for law school graduates is not optimal. And obviously, without having her license.
Does she volunteer to do any legal services that would be able to be conducted without a law license?
No, Your Honor, she is not.
She doesn't, volunteer to clerk for legal aid or anything like that?
No, Your Honor. She's been focused on her job and on getting through the character and fitness process right now.
You realize that probably could have helped her?
Yes, Your Honor.
Counsel, I'm not entirely clear. Which examination are you asking that she be permitted to sit for?
Ideally, it would be for this July's bar exam, but no later than the February bar examination without further review.
Okay, thank you.
I would just like to point out a couple pieces of evidence that I feel that the Board of Character and Fitness did not properly consider in making their decision. As I stated in the beginning, the applicant did graduate from law school on time with her class, even though she had to exceed the maximum course requirement during her last semester. She entered into and complied with a OLAP contract. She sought and continues to seek medical attention for her diagnoses. Even though it is a non-legal job, she has gained employment and has held that job. Also, the Board of Commissioners seem to discount the testimony of Nancy Ent, who was the applicant's supervisor at the College of Law. She worked at the Urban Morgan Institute, which runs a law journal. And Ms. Ent testified that the applicant was attentive to her duties, able to commit or complete assignments on time, and also displayed some ability with Blue Book and attention to detail as far as citations. Also, I believe that the Board of Commissioners ignored some evidence that the applicant understands her mistakes from law school and that she's not going to repeat them. Certainly, her conduct, particularly with missing class, demonstrated a lack of commitment to her education. However, she was able to finish that degree. She did acknowledge that the things that she did in law school were wrong. She did not repeat those mistakes after she was corrected, and I don't believe that she will if she is permitted to sit for the bar exam.
Counsel, I'm stuck back where other members of this court were stuck at the beginning of this. This July's bar exam is rolling up very quickly, and so it's problematic in terms of fitting her into to that. It would take a lot of...
I understand that, Your Honor.
It's not impossible to be done, but it's... It doesn't seem like she would be a candidate for that. So we're talking February. That means she's, because of these issues, been forced to sit out for, what, 2.5 years?
That's correct.
And all that the board asks is that she re-interview with Cincinnati, and they're here saying she's good to go. So it doesn't seem like that's a high hoop to deal with. So
that's true, Your Honor.
I too am having a hard time understanding.
Well, part of the rationale,
what the problem is.
I think part of the rationale, Your Honor,
is it filling out all the paperwork and the cost, or
that's certainly part of it. I think.
But if filling out all the paperwork is. She'd rather send you here than fill out all the paperwork. That seems to fall back into the issue of not wanting to do her work when she was in law school.
Well, I think, Your Honor, part of it is we were not sure exactly what the court schedule would be as far as oral argument and making a ruling on this, and not knowing that the applicant wanted to go ahead and file an objection. And then the other part is...
Did you do that thinking that you're going to have enough time then to maybe take the July bar?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay. All right. Well,
we did understand that it would be kind of a long shot, but we thought that it was within the realm of possibility.
More so than a long shot.
That
much
helps
more.
Explain it then. Helps explain it.
Okay. I don't have anything further. I'd like to reserve the rest of my time for rebuttal unless there are any further questions. Thank you.
Mr. Hyland.
Chief Justice O'Connor, other honorable members of this court, I'm Robert Hyland from Cincinnati, here on behalf of the Cincinnati Bar Association, and as I will explain in just a minute, and I rather, thinking back to the last case, either a conflicting or an ambiguous role in this case. I would first like to point out to the court what it is that the applicant has objected to. And also explain to you that we would have filed a concurrence with the objection to the court, except that for reasons that had nothing to do with me, the package got put into the FedEx box only the day before the due date, and then FedEx did not pick it up that evening, so it got here a day late. We otherwise would have filed a concurrence with this court.
So you don't think that she should have to go through a character and fitness screening?
That is correct. And that's in part because of the way that this process is, Your Honor, that she makes the application, and this is any applicant the way that I see it, an applicant makes the application and a supplemental questionnaire before the completion of law school, then the board of the up in Chicago fills in all of its information and sends it back up here, which then sends it down to us. And so we first see this with a record made as of approximately the end of the school year when this person will graduate from law school, or if they're transferring in from some other state from some definite time. In this case, actually, Ms. Birch has more of an advantage than other applicants because of the fact that her hearing before the Board of Commissioners on character and fitness was last October. And so that gave her the opportunity to provide more information to be considered by that board, and also because it was in that hearing then to be considered by this court beyond what was considered back in July of 2010 or even August of 2011. Our conflicting role in this is that we are, we believe, requested by the Board of Character and Fitness to substantiate their permission. There's a conflict in this case because we have recommended that she be allowed to take the bar examination. And what they have asked, in fact, is that she go through the whole admissions process, again, beginning with the initial application, and that is what Ms. Birch has
objected
to.
Would you be satisfied if, and would this work, instead of starting over in Chicago, and I'm unfamiliar with all the paperwork that's involved, we were to say that before she could sit for the February bar, she simply needs to be re-interviewed by the Cincinnati bar, in other words, the last stage of a do-over?
I think that if this court were to follow that path, that the proper addition to what you suggest, Your Honor, would be another supplemental questionnaire to be completed by the applicant that provides additional information. You have to understand that.
That would cut down the time, because I see perhaps where this is going is that even if she started now, she could get caught up in not being timely for February.
That's certainly possible.
That probably is a long shot that she wouldn't be able to take the bar in February and get her paperwork in. But my question to you is, who would make up this additional questionnaire?
It's a standard form.
Okay, so just the questionnaire from the court. That's all you think that she should fill out?
Well, and then to do the interview again.
The interview. So what basically the objection here is the background check that is required, is when you say the Chicago component, that's what they're doing.
I said that in response to Justice Pfeiffer's question, but that I would add that requirement.
You would add that requirement?
I would, of the supplemental questionnaire. But
Wait a minute. There's a difference between the supplemental questionnaire filled out by the applicant and then the background.
Absolutely.
You're saying you don't think she needs any background investigation?
No, we have already approved her, Your Honor.
Yeah, back in 2011.
Yes.
What's happened since then? Do you want to go on the record and recommend without knowing if there's been any kind of a activity that might be objectionable for that period of time?
I don't think that puts her in any different position. The answer to your question is yes. But that
yes,
puts
you
her
want to go on the record as saying no need to do any further background information on her.
That is correct. But that puts her in the same position as every other applicant to practice law in Ohio. We do not do a supplemental questionnaire for anybody else after that first supplemental questionnaire. I mean, we don't do a background check beyond the initial information put together.
No matter if they've been disallowed to take the bar exam and they have to take the bar exam in the future, whether it be 18 months later or 2 years later, there's no additional information that is sought. Is that what you're saying? No more character and fitness scrutiny.
If this court upholds the finding of the Board of Commissioners on character and fitness, she should have to do that.
She should, absolutely.
If this court upholds the Board of Character and Fitness.
And I haven't heard a valid reason as why we shouldn't do this. We do it for every other similarly situated applicant that has been denied the opportunity to take the bar. And I have not heard anything from you or Ms. Birch's counsel to suggest that we deviate from that standard operating procedure for every applicant to become to take the bar and become an attorney licensed in the state of Ohio. I don't want to do the paperwork. Is that what I'm hearing?
No, Your Honor. That is part of what you heard. But you have to remember that I said when I came up here that the Cincinnati Bar Association was put into a conflicting position. What unites those two conflicting positions is our obligation to the profession, to this court, and to the citizens of Ohio. And in part, that is to honor the system through which the character and fitness process ended up with the Board of Character and Fitness, but also then with the right of that applicant to appeal to this court from that finding. And so that's where we are today. And in fact, the conflicting part of this is from the fact that back a year ago, the admissions committee of the Cincinnati Bar Association recommended that she be allowed to take the bar exam and if she passes to practice law in Ohio. And I'll be glad to tell you why that is. And I believe, Justice Stratton, that it's because of how we saw her life during law school and since law school. And with all due respect, we believe that the practices that show up in her tutoring job do in fact show how she can perform as a lawyer, because she performs those duties with diligence and with respect and with courtesy and with understanding for the students and the parents with whom she has to deal. But because I am now down to 7 minutes, I'm going to remove most of the first part of what I was prepared to say and go to the end in response to why did we recommend her for admission to the practice of law?
Counsel, I don't think that's not the question.
No, I want to hear that answer.
Oh, all right.
I want to hear that. That's important to me.
And that is because, to start with, during law school, she devoted much of her time to the Institute for Human Rights, which the Urban Morgan Institute, which did two things. It put out the Human Rights Journal, and it provided discussions and brought in speakers, and in which she was very involved, and in fact, in which she carried out her duties. At one point, Ms. Ent said that she was the number one student she's dealt with. At another time, she said she's in the top five that she's dealt with. Ms. Ent also said that the problems that Ms. Birch had in law school were similar to those that she had seen from other law students who were not treated in the same way that Ms. Birch has been treated. And so consequently, we found that the law school experience of Ms. Birch was not reason to not recommend her for admission to the practice of law.
Counsel, I'm sorry to interrupt you, because I think that the applicants' counsel and you aren't focusing on the other things, though, that were in the character and fitness, because what you described about her activities during law school are admirable. But yet, as an extern at the court, she used her court ID to access people's criminal records through the clerk of courts when she was with friends, kind of as sport. And then she made disparaging comments about the court while she was in the courtroom for other people to hear. So it wasn't simply the schoolwork that she was doing. There are some character issues that cause me pause for somebody who's going to be an officer of the court.
I understand that. And we share in those concerns. The incident in juvenile court occurred only that one time. There was a good question about the accessing of the public records out of the Hamilton County Clerk of Courts. Anybody can go into those without a password. I could look up, and I've done this in the course of my practice, I can go in and look for somebody with whom my client is dealing and see if there is any record in a civil case, criminal case, traffic case, and we can do that without my password. What I need my password for is to look at documents, but not to access the court records. Also, there is the recommendation from her extern supervisor, Alicia Feischel, which is in your records, in which she says the same thing. And she also recommends Ms. Birch for the for admission to the practice of law. So if, in fact, if it had been as Dean Jefferson saw it, I believe that that Ms. Feischel would not have recommended her for the practice of law, but in fact she has recommended her for the practice of law. So we considered those, and we also considered that it was 2011 last year, and it's now 2012, so that she is no longer the same age person that she was back in 2009 when that occurred.
And all we would suggest is that there be the same scrutiny applied to this applicant as to every other applicant that is similarly situated. No exceptions.
Your Honor, I have not been involved with any of those other cases. We are up here on the record that is presented.
And I'm talking about the procedure that's in place for all applicants to take the bar, and that's the character and fitness component of the process. And as you stand there today, you cannot say with certainty that nothing has transpired in the last year to 18 months that might influence a decision. You don't know that personally. You can't make that representation. We have a process in place that allows for that. So that information comes to the court, and we can then fulfill our duties. This is the process that works.
But that process works only if we accept the Board of Discipline's recommend of disapproval and don't accept yours of approval.
Well, I understand, Your Honor and Your Honor, that our hearing today is part of a process established by the law of Ohio and by this court. And that process does not include any questionnaire or any other interview in between the report of the Board of Commissioners of Character and Fitness and this argument before you today. It's simply not there. And so we're doing what we can with the record that is before this court. We found that she was fit to practice law. And let me just finish up with, I think, about three items. Number one is that when she came to Cincinnati, and this reflects on what she is today, when she came to Cincinnati, she's the one who sought out the psychiatric help to continue her medication. If you read the transcript, you will see that she did not understand why she needed to be referred to OLAP, because she said, I was doing what I had to do, but she has made use of that referral to OLAP, and it has helped her since that time in dealing with her coping issues and with her other medical issues. And finally, then, I have mentioned that Ms. Faisal has recommended her, and that was last October when she wrote that letter, and her current employer sets out specifics of what Ms. Birch has done, showing that she meets the characteristics that match those eligibility requirements for the practice of law in Ohio. Thank you.
Mr. Keefe?
Thank you, Your Honor. Just briefly, I would just like to clarify that I believe procedurally where the case is at right now is it is this court's decision as to whether or not it's going to adopt the Board of Commissioners' recommendation. I believe that the court can do that without further investigation into the applicant's character. The hearing was conducted at the end of October, I believe on the 27th, so it's been approximately 8 months since then. And as Mr. Hyland pointed out, I don't believe that Ms. Birch is really substantially different from any other applicant in that time does elapse in between those background checks and when either the Bar Association or the Board of Character and Fitness makes their decision. Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you. We'll take the matter under advisement and you will be notified of our decision. Marshal, will you adjourn court, please?
All rise. Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. This open session of the Honorable Supreme Court of Ohio now stands adjourned.